G'day, Mike Hussey here, but you can call me Mr. Supercoach. KFC Supercoach BBL is back and there's 25 grand up for grabs. So what are you waiting for? Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.
Macca's 30 days, 30 deals. Find out today's delicious deal only on the My Macca's app.
Welcome to the Macca's Run with Sam Hargraves.
Yes, indeed. A very good evening to you. Welcome to the Macca's Run. Hope you've had as good a day as you possibly can, however you've been putting it in, wherever you've been putting it in. It's wonderful to have you on board right now. However you're finding us, wherever you're finding us on the SEN network, the Macca's Run, just catching you up to speed on all the big discussion points throughout the course of the day. And this is your chance to have your say on the news of the day. You can do that on the Harcourts open line, 1300 736 736. Your move, your Harcourts for all things real estate. Speak to Harcourts for all things sport. Speak to me. You can text in on the 40 Winks Temper text. Consumer choice winner temper mattresses, pillows and adjustable bases conforms to the exact shape of your body. And it's all for Macca's. Pop into Macca's for 30 days of 30 deals. The major conversation point today is still the Brownlow betting scandal, which continues to dominate discussion. Umpire Shane McInerney was on Summer Breakfast today and shared his emotions around how he felt when he heard the story yesterday.
Oh, look, shock's one word. Disappointed. In fact, probably beyond that, it's actually devastating news, Sam. And look, it's probably particularly devastating, you know, for the existing AFL umpiring list to, certainly in my time at least anyway, greatly valued the integrity of the Brownlow Medal and certainly saw their role and responsibilities in its awarding as an absolute privilege. So to have this this news come out yesterday is, yes, shocking, as you've just suggested.
Shane McInerney on with Summer Breakfast, Sam Edmund, Simon O'Donnell doing a cracking job. Jared Whateley weighed in during his editorial to start off Whateley this morning at 9 a.m.
It is one of life's truisms. Wherever there's gambling, you'll find scoundrels and scallywags. And there's a world of difference between corruption and carelessness. As well as being its most prestigious night, the Brownlow Medal is the AFL's premier betting product. In the coming days, we'll learn just how vulnerable it is. It's distinct for the fact that by the time the majority of betting is done, the votes are already cast. The subjective elements are determined and the knowledge is held by multiple individuals. As a risk profile, nothing could be higher. Every year there are purported leaks, but they tend to add to the flavour of the build-up rather than threatening the integrity of the count. Now, historically, sport was slow to recognise where it might be compromised. The spot fix rather than the match fix, the bowling of a no ball at a certain moment rather than the throwing of a test match. As betting on the Brownlow has evolved, it's moved past the overall winner and the leading vote getter at each club, which you know is my failing, to markets predicting the voting of each game. And that's where this trouble evidently lies.
Jared Whateley earlier on today, and it's interesting too, Scott Gullen in an article in the Herald Sun has provided a little bit more insight into the games in which red flags were raised. And you can read that article at the Herald Sun website. It's the round 13 Queen's Birthday clash, according to his story, in which the umpire name was actually the fourth umpire. Collingwood and Melbourne, Queen's Birthday clash round 13. Brody Mychek got the three on that night, 16 disposals, 4 goals. Clayton Oliver had 43 disposals. He got the Neil Danaher trophy. Mason Cox, the second half that he had, 21 touches, 8 marks, 9 hitouts and a goal. Many thought that he could have been best on ground. The other game to raise suspicion, according to Scotty Gullen's article, was the round 23 clash, St Kilda and Sydney. Dan Hannabury, in his last game, got the 3 votes. No Swans player featured, despite the Swans getting the win. So this story continues to unfold. And when things like this happen, doesn't often take long. When things like this happen, I shouldn't say that, we haven't seen anything like this happen, which I think is part of the shock in all of this. It feels like a bit of innocence has been lost. There's been rumours for a long time, but nothing ever quite like this, where 4 people have been arrested and charges are pending. Dane Zorko, Brisbane Lions captain, was on SENQ today and said that maybe it's time to do the Brownlow voting a little differently.
Just the social media stuff that I've been sort of reading and sifting through is they're saying this is another reason as to why umpires shouldn't have to vote straight after the game. Leave it to an expert panel that can decide. Yeah. Don't leave it up to the umpires. Take that responsibility off them. I mean, I don't know if that's the way, but now there's three and next year there's going to be four by the sounds. They're going to bring in another umpire. And now the fact that there's three at the moment, they're all sort of in different thirds of the ground. So you're not actually seeing who's the most influential the whole time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I agree. I'd give it to someone who's been watching the game and sitting up high and understands what's happened throughout the whole game and decide from there.
Brisbane Lions skipper Dane Zorko with Pat and Heels on SENQ today. Grant Thomas has floated something similar to the Herald Sun, a 5-4-3-2-1, a panel of experts that would be hired specifically for the purpose of going from game to game, to watch the game, consult, confer, and then give the Brownlow Medal votes. But a Brownlow Medal winner in his own right, Jared Healy, moments ago on Sports Day, gave his thoughts on this idea.
Well, I would never change it. I don't see the justification in changing it. I look at, I've heard for a decade, the midfielder's medal claim, and clearly the history would show that unless you're a midfielder, you're in trouble to win it. But if you go through the coaches' votes this year, one player out of the top 10 was a non-midfielder. So to me, if the umpires are getting it pretty much close to what the coaches are getting it, I reckon they're going okay. And so it's an instinctive award. Mm. They don't use the stats as much as others. And I would say that's the charm of the Brownlow Medal. Okay, you may have a different view as to who should win or not. But to say that you're going to fix up the problems that we've got right now is ludicrous, because if you're giving it to other human beings, you are also giving it to people who can pass on information.
That's right.
I don't quite get the, you know.
Why do we need to change it? I understand.
I don't even do need to.
That was Jared Healy and Brad Johnson. So the 1988 Brownlow medalist, not sure why we'd need to change it. And let me know how you feel. Where do you sit on this? Are we just jumping at shadows here? Or is it an opportunity to change something in the game that you feel hasn't been right for a while? Dane Zorko thinks it's a catalyst to make the change. Grant Thomas as well. How does that actually safeguard us any more than what we currently have is the question that Jared's asking there, and a question that I agree with. How are we any better off? How are we any more safeguarded from a panel of experts? How are they any less vulnerable to something like this occurring than the umpires would be? So that part I don't really understand. But given that we are moving into a different structuring of the way the game's going to be umpired in the four quadrants, so to speak, with the four field umpires, does that impede their ability to give votes? I don't think so. But could it actually help get votes into other players on the ground if the umpires, you know, if you're feeling like it's a midfielder's only award, but so is every other award, does this now actually give the umpires, if they're in one sector, they are going to see more the defenders, more the forwards, and maybe they can actually have more insight into that when they go to give their votes. Have we ever got it horribly wrong consistently? Yeah, there's been some shocks with Brownlows over the years, and you can probably name them, some surprises here and there, some votes that didn't quite go the way that you want, and people will throw up Diesel in 93 and they'll throw up a couple of others. But have we got it consistently wrong time and time again, so much so that there needs to be a change? I think we've got it right more often than we've got it wrong, and substantially so, wouldn't we? 1-300-736-736 to have your say on that. Andy Gowers, it's been a fantastic thing that Jared Waitley's been able to do on his program. Hawthorn members have got their vote for the next president, December 13th at the AGM. Last week, Jared had President-elect Peter Nankerville on the show, sen.com.au, to hear the full chat. Today, 1991 Premiership player, former board member Andy Gowers was on, and pretty timely after Jeff Kennett again went after him and board nominee James Marino in a late-night Twitter rant. This is what Andy Gowers had to say in regards to that.
I alluded to this on Sunday at my rally. It's every Hawthorn member knows that that has not helped our club. It certainly doesn't help our cause when we're looking for funding for the Kennedy Community Centre, and we know that there's money to be transferred to Hawthorn at the right time that isn't, and it's not in our coffers. So that damages our opportunity to develop the Kennedy Community Centre. And recently it's been announced that that's been delayed by a further year. So, look, Hawthorn members are smart. They understand that Jeff is a former Premier. He's obviously a former Liberal leader, and that's clear, and that's understandable. So that platform has given us as a club a lot of ammunition in terms of getting presence in the media and so on. And that some of that has been really good, but some of it doesn't help us and doesn't help our cause. So that is why I'm reminding Hawthorn members that, you know, Kennett presidency and the Nankerville vice presidency for the last 5 years is the current era. I'm looking to change that. I'm looking to bring in a new broom.
Andy Gowers earlier today.
I was down in Tasmania yesterday in Launceston talking to Hawthorn members and fans, and the general mood is one for positive change, and that's what I've been picking up on myself, and that's why I've put my hand up. I think the opportunity is there for Hawthorn members to have their say, and what I'm all about is positive new change for our club.
So Andy Gower's there and doesn't believe that Peter Nankerville represents that change that he's keen to see. So if you want to hear the full chat of both the nominees or both the candidates for Hawthorn's next president, sen.com.au, go in and vote with an informed mind, and you can hear them and make your own mind up about who's the best option for Hawthorn moving forward, sen.com.au. Mark in Bacchus Marsh, Dominic in Melbourne, stay right there. I'll get to your calls on the other side of this. This is the Macca's Run. We do it all for McDonald's. Pop into Macca's for 30 days of 30 deals. Harcourt's open line, 1300 736 736. Your move, your Harcourt's.
Macca's 30 Days 30 Deals is back. Claim daily deals only on the My Macca's app.
Welcome to the Macca's Run with Sam Hargraves.
Call on the Harcourt's open line, 1300 736 736. We do it all for Macca's. Pop into Macca's for 30 days of 30 deals. Mark in Bacchus Marsh wants to talk Brownlow. Hello, mate.
Good evening. How you going? Long time no chat.
Great to chat to you again, Mark. What have you got for me?
Well, I think that the Brownlow does need a bit of an overhaul because it's become a midfielder's comp. I think an independent or non-umpires might give defenders, rucks and forwards a bit more of a go. And I think the Brownlow changed in the later 90s once the umpires were given access to the stats. They never used to get the stats up till about 96. And then the AFL decided to give them the stats. And as soon as that happened, it became a midfielder's game because they went to a midfielder's award because they just kept going by the stats and looking at disposals and so on.
It's always been a midfielder's award, Mark, though. There have been non-midfielders that have won it. But by and large, if you go back and look at all the winners, I think it's like 90% of them, 80% to 90% are midfielders. It's always been a midfielder's award. They don't always look at the stats. So it just wouldn't be the Brownlow anymore. So it's just a different award. So then how is it different to the coach's award, to the player's award, to, you know, any other award? What defines it then? What makes it different?
Well, basically, the amount of votes midfielders get these days is much higher than what they used to get in the past before the umpires had access to the stats.
But is that the umpire's fault,
Mark? You'd win the Brownlow.
Just for you, is that the umpire's fault? Or if you listen to any coach or any player or any expert, when we ask them in the games, where's this game going to be won and lost, it's always, it'll start in the midfield. Games won and lost in the midfield. We're told that by coaches, players, everybody. So is that the umpire's fault that the game always recognises midfielders first and foremost?
Well, you hear that quite often, but you also listen to the experts that build teams, and they say you've got to build the spine first, and you build the team around the spine, which is your big man being your centre-half forward, full forward, ruck, centre-half back, full-back, and then you build the team around that, and you build the midfielders around that.
What I'm curious about, Mark, is why do we think that taking the votes away from the umpires will somehow unleash a spate of non-midfield winners?
I wouldn't say it's going to have a spate of non-midfield winners. I just think that some of the other positions will get a bit more recognition like they used to in the past. Like I said, in the past, before 96, 97, when they changed it to having a look at the stats, rucks and defenders and forwards got more votes. They don't get as much now these
stage. Like, you know, 30 votes to win the Brownlow was nearly unheard of back in the, from the mid-90s. Normally 21, 22, 23 get you home. These days, if you 21, 22, 23 doesn't get you close, you need 30, 31. You need in that range generally now, because midfielders do get more votes than what they used to in the past, in my opinion.
Mark, always glad to get your opinion, my friend. And thank you for ringing up to make it, buddy. We'll speak to you again soon. Cheers. Just running short of time there, so don't mean to cut anybody off. Just before we finish up, Todd Greenberg, the Players Association, the Cricket Players Association boss, was on with Jared Waitley early today, and Jared asked him about the current view that the public have of our Australian cricket team.
When you don't win and your performance is put under the spotlight, these are the sort of questions that will get asked. I'm hopeful that we have a great summer here. We have some great success on the field, and this is not a question that you and I will be talking about at the back end of summer, hopefully.
Do you think the Australian public loves its cricket team?
Well, I think it's different. I think parts of the Australian public absolutely love the cricket team, but it's a different sense because different players play at different times in different formats. So I think there's an understandable element here that says how close can we get and how well do we know when there are teams and changes chopping from time to time. So my simple answer is yes, I do think they love their Australian cricket team, but I think there is more we can do to ensure that that love continues to grow in years to come.
Todd Greenberg, Cricketers Players Association boss today, he went and spoke about whether there's a lingering resentment or a lingering effect of Justin Langer's expert. He spoke about the relationship between current and former players. It's a really interesting chat and well worth a listen to, sen.com.au. But it is interesting today that Pat Cummins has announced he's stepping back from the IPL for the time being. This is a man that's earned $4.5 million in the last 2 years, and he's going to take a step back. And I don't think that the motivation for doing that was to maybe ingratiate himself more on the Australian public, but I don't think it hurts. I think whenever you've got a player that says, I'm going to choose country over cash, well, I think that's just a little step in the right direction, where I believe that we are as disconnected with our Australian team as we maybe ever really have been. The World Cup, I think, showed that. People voted with their feet. Hey, on the other side of this, the other big story of the day is Adelaide and South Australia getting the LIV tournament. We will go through it all with Nick Ahern off the tee. Our dedicated golf program's up next.
G'day, Mike Hussey here. Get on board Australia's best fantasy cricket game, KFC Supercoach BBL. It's fun, free and easy to play. Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.